Hello, everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory. Today's program is part one of a two-part conversation with Susan Howard. Hello, Susan. Welcome to Testimony.
Thank you, Jensine. It's delightful to be with you today.
Well, this is a phone interview for our listening audience. Susan has graciously agreed to be with us this morning from her home in Texas. And if any of you watched the mega hit series Dallas in the 80s, you will know that Susan played the beautiful Donna on this show. Now, Susan, I understand you are a woman of faith, and I know that everyone wanted to know who shot JR. But today, Susan...
I think just about everyone on the show was filmed shooting him.
Well, today, Susan, you have an incredible testimony, and this is what we want to focus on and hear about from you this morning. In my reading about you, you're involved in quite a bit. Can you tell us a little bit about that, what brought you to Hollywood, and what you're doing now?
Well, growing up, Jensen, that was always something I really wanted to do, and I guess as you go through your life, you find out that God has given each and every one of us gifts and talents, and hopefully in most people's lives, they have an opportunity to pursue them or to achieve them or at least go for it. And I was fortunate enough to have a family that supported me in my dreams. And so I studied theater at the University of Texas and ended up in California. I was either there in New York, and I knew it wasn't going to be New York. So I really grew up on film, enjoyed it immensely, and could see the impact that it not only had on me growing up. Of course, I grew up in the days of Doris Day and all those wonderful things. In fact, last night my husband and I just sat and watched Showboat with Howard Keel, who was on. I just wept when I saw it and remembered. And I'm deeply sorry that today our children can't be afforded those kinds of things where hope and victory and morals and all kinds of respect and virtue and honor were obvious in those films. But anyway, I ended up out there, worked part-time, secretary, trying to make it happen or see for it happen. And the Lord just opened doors for me at that time. I was brought up in the faith, went to church, but I never had a committed heart towards the Lord. It was just something you did when you grow up. You know, you go to church with your parents, and you hear it, and you get baptized, and nothing transpired there. And I ended up being cast in a wonderful series called Petrocelli. Yes, which was great, starring Barry Newman and Albert Sonny. And the show was over. All of a sudden, we were canceled. We were nominated for, oh, my goodness, Emmys and Golden Globes, and I was. And the show was canceled, and you're going, oh, my gosh. I thought this was supposed to happen, and you just go into a deep funk. And my husband, we were just really struggling. And Calvin said to me, well, he said, you know, we need to go to church. And it was like he had said something, it like spit fire, you know, out of his mouth. That just kind of came on you, and it just sort of burned all over. Not in a spiritual way inside, but like, oh, my gosh, what are you talking about? The last thing we need is church. And he said, no, we need to go to church, because he had been brought up too. He's from Texas. There was a church on the corner close to where we live. We didn't go to that one. But there was one down by the unemployment office, which every actor knows where that is. And it was a small little church, and I thought, okay, let's go to that one, because probably if it's that small, nobody goes there anyway. So we go down on a Sunday morning, not even knowing. We figured, oh, well, maybe they went to church at 11 or something, because that's what we did, you know, back home. But when we got over there, we found out they had three services a day. And that day, of course, I want to raise it. When you go to church, they always want to drag you down to the front row because they recognize that you're a heathen and a pagan.
Right? Right.
It's true. And they go, okay, well, you come on. We're going to take you. I go, no, you put the brakes up. I'm not going down there. We sat in the second row of the back. This is 31 years ago, January the 21st. I remember it as though it were today. It was the day I was born again. And I heard the sermon. My ears were opened. My heart, I began to sob and weep. And they have, and still have, I'm sure, at Church on the Way, where you would stand up and make small circles. And people will pray with you or for you, and we did that, and it was very unnerving. Said, now, if there are any of you here who would like to know more about Jesus, we'd like to give you a Bible, pray with you, share with you, and here's a room, and here's some friends and some people who would just like to talk to you. Well, by then, I had been able to get myself together. You know, well, this is nice. This felt good, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now we can go home. We don't ever have to come back again, all right? So this is how the devil works, all right? He comes to kill, to steal, and destroy.
Right.
So he comes to take those things that God, to pull them out. And let me tell you, we would have walked out of there that morning if not the lady behind me, who had been in the prayer group, she reached over and put her hand on my shoulder. And I tell you, it was a hand of the Lord. And I turned around, and I looked in her eyes, and she said, "Wouldn't you like to know more about Jesus?" Well,
wow.
I totally fell apart, sobbing and crying. All I could do was nod my head. We went back to the room. We sat and talked, prayed, and from that day on, all I did was grow in Christ. That's all I did. We would go. They had like a Church on the Way schooling, if you will, where you studied the Word of God. And it was almost like getting a college degree in biblical history and biblical studies.
Mm-hmm.
We would go three nights a week. And we did this for 2 years and studied. So it was one of those, what I call, an absolute total transformation of someone who had heard but didn't hear, who had eyes to see but couldn't see. And all of a sudden, our lives, and I said, "Well, I'm not supposed to be in the industry anymore. I'm not going to do this." I gave up my agent. I had nothing except a friend who had been one of the producers.
So, Susan, you felt at that time that God wanted you out of the business because now you're a born-again Christian?
No, I did not. I felt like I was not. I thought, how could you be in the industry and serve Christ?
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't the Holy Spirit saying, "Leave the business and get up." No. That was lack of maturity, if you will, and comprehending that God puts everybody in specific places for such a time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it, but God honored my heart in it because it was pure before Him, and the reasons I wanted to get rid of an egg, all that, and try something different, which I did not know. Maybe I was supposed to go be a Bible teacher. I didn't know, Jensen. I did not know. All I knew was I just wanted all that I could get of Christ. Because it was wonderful to have a new life. And I knew I had one. But that's not what God had in mind.
Right. And Susan, how old were you at the time when you made this commitment to the Lord?
Oh, my gosh, hon. Don't even ask me that.
Okay, we won't. It doesn't matter. But the point is, as you were born again, you were a new creature in Christ Jesus. And everything
Absolutely.
Was new to you.
Absolutely. Totally. I could read the Bible and understand it. Okay. It wasn't some fictional book. Everything was true. There is nothing in the Word of God from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, that is not verifiably true.
Mm-hmm.
And it is verifiably true if anybody would ever study historical Bible.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that's a fact, okay? I mean, I hear people talk about, whales. No, it says God made a big fish. Didn't say a whale swallowed him, okay? So people can always misinterpret and do things because of fear. See, they fear that the Word of God is really true, and it is. But then fear brings a snare.
That's
and
right.
And that's what the Word says. Fear brings a snare to mankind, which leads them farther and farther away from the truth of Christ. But the gentleman who was the producer on Petrocelli ended up being the writer, producer, and majority director on Dallas. Wrote the role for me.
Wow.
And he wrote two or three different scripts, and I turned them all down. And he finally wrote this one, and he sent it to me, and he said, this is you. You have to do this. And I read it, and we prayed over it, and I said, you know, Callan, this seems right to me. And that was how it began.
Now, was this producer a Christian?
No, he passed away now. His name is Leonard Katzman. He's a Jewish man, but when Calvin and I renewed our vows in the Lord, he and his wife were at church with us and took communion. So we had a parting of the ways, if you will, on Dallas, because the storyline that had to do with Donna being pregnant and find out she's carrying a Down syndrome child, which was another way of the propaganda in Hollywood that you do. It's a way of undermining things that they do not conceive worthy of life, okay? So Donna, who was the, quote, nice person, if you will, who stood up for things and punched JR in the face and kind of thing, would be the one who would choose to have an abortion.
Right.
Because she was having a Down syndrome child. And actually, I mean, this is what they said, 80-some-odd percent of people who find out they're carrying a Down syndrome child choose abortion. And I said, what about the other 20 or 8% or whatever it is? And they sat there with faces blank. I said, wouldn't you say that they wanted it? Why could you not say that Donna wanted it? And I said, look, this is it, okay? I said, I won't make waves over it. I'm not going to the press. I'm not going to do anything. But if this is a storyline that you intend to have, you can write me off right now because I will not be on the show. I will not have this character kill an innocent child. So they came back after a season of time, and the gentleman who was also the executive producer with Leonard, who was a Catholic gentleman, Phil Capice, he said, Susan, we've worked it out. You're not going to have an abortion. I said, well, that's good. He said, however, you will lose the child. What it did was for that season of time on the Dallas show, because they let me go through the pregnancy, carrying it up to a season of time, which meant the fellow who played my husband, Steve Connelly, the Ray character, and I got involved with Down syndrome. They brought Down syndrome children on the show. They brought children with spina bifida. They brought children who were paraplegic. They brought children who were deaf. They brought children who were blind. And all of a sudden, Dallas was not just about greed and murder and conniving and bad politics and backroom dealings. There was a something that happened to it that even touched the crew that brought things that had been hidden, Jensen. Okay, people used to think, oh, you have to hide these people, okay?
Right.
And it is so sad. But it was wonderful what happened. And then eventually, Donna does lose the baby, but they adopted a deaf child.
Wow.
So anyway, God did a wonderful thing in the midst of all of it. And I had so many letters and so many comments and so many people to send me pictures about their Down syndrome child or their child's spina bifida, and how much it meant to see them on TV and to have them accorded the distinction of being human beings who, yes, were different and, yes, were special and, yes, had needs as we all do. We are all broken and blind and deaf without the life of Christ coming into our hearts and changing us to give us a hope for the future.
Amen.
Amen.
Donna.
Amen.
I wanted to call you Donna, but Susan.
And everybody else does.
Oh, my Lord. Well, Anne McCulley is a mutual friend of ours, and I really have her to thank for connecting us for this interview today.
It's been my pleasure, truly my pleasure.
Be sure to tune in next week when we continue our conversation with the dynamic Susan Howard. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. Or write to us at Testimony, P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. That's P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. I'm Jensine Bard. Please join us again for Testimony. Today's program will conclude our conversation we began last week with the fabulous Susan Howard, who starred as Donna in the mega-hit series Dallas. One of the other reasons I wanted to interview you, Susan, is you're not just a fair weather Christian from everything I've read about you. And obviously now hearing you speak, that is just more confirmed. But you are very active in politics and fitness.
I am.
Can
yes.
you tell us some of the things politically that you're involved in, just what you're doing now and what you see in the future for yourself, your husband, your career?
In Texas, it's very easy to be a conservative and a Christian because the atmosphere here is one, probably maybe because most people say, wow, you guys down there really know who you are. Well, yeah, I guess we kind of do. I have been involved in politics since I was on the Dallas series. At that time, way back when, I think a lot of people in my neck of the woods and in others, you grow up in a family that is one political party, and the reason that they're that is because their family was that party or whatever reasons, but I'm not sure that anybody actually sat down and said, no, well, wait a minute, what's the platform? What do they really believe? Where do they want this nation to go? How are we going to get where they want us to go with these kind of people being elected and put into office? And I sat down and I wrote Ronald Reagan a letter. And I said, Dear President Reagan, my name is Susan Howard. I'm on the Dallas TV series, and I know that you were a Democrat once. I was a Democrat once. And I say this to all those wonderful Democrats out there, you shall pass away. Oh, God.
Yeah.
you really want to be a conservative and a true constitutionalist. You just don't want to be identified as a party person. And anyway, I wrote this letter, and I said, I just wanted you to know I'm so thankful and grateful to who you are and what you are, what you stand for, and what I see and hear and understand that you're seeking to do for this country. And I said, if there's anything I can ever do for you, ha, 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 I said, let me know. Well, he wrote me back. And he read this wonderful letter and saying, boy, yes, I understand what you're talking about, and la, 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 la. And it was a wonderful, wonderful letter. That began a relationship. And he appointed me to what they called American Heroes for Reagan. It wasn't that I was a hero. It was that there were heroes like Jeremiah Denton, who had been a POW in Vietnam. And I was kind of assigned to be with Jeremiah when he would go to certain places and speak. And I was the, quote, you know, celebrity there. Christian, godly man, and it opened opportunities for me to comprehend even more about the political process and hopefully begin to realize that you can make a difference. You can. And understand that you have to open up your mouth and speak. And celebrities do it all the time, not wisely or intelligently, but they do it. And you can make an impact. So anyway, we were fortunate to be invited to the White House for dinner. And it was just wonderful. I still love this man. I think, as Rush calls him, Ronaldo Magnus, that's there he is. He was an incredible man.
He was. His
legacy will live forever. And after that, I just continued and was asked if I would run for the board of directors of the NRA. And I was so thrilled and honored, and I did, and was elected. And I serve on the public affairs. And then we came home to Texas because we really kind of realized that things were not going to happen anymore in California. I pretty much cut my throat out there with the whole abortion issue because they wrote me out of the series after that. I didn't ask to be out. They wrote me out. But we were praying and saying, Lord, what do you want? And we both felt like it was time for us to move, to go home to Texas. And so we did and came home. And at that time, George Bush was considering a run for the governor. And I was asked if I would meet with him. And President Bush and I sat on a balcony overlooking the Gulf and, well, the bay, really, in Padre Island. And he told me about how he came to the Lord, how Billy Graham had led him to the Lord, and his walk with Christ. And
right.
I thought, this is not a coincidence.
No.
Again, Lord, this is not a coincidence.
Right.
So I began to campaign for George. And I remember one time, Jensen, we were down in South Texas campaigning. It had been a rainy, rainy day, and we'd been on a bus, and a group of young, well, not young, but families, Hispanic men who were on a school board down in a certain area, got on the bus and asked to see George and said, listen, we're deeply concerned with what they're teaching. These were not Republican people, okay? We're deeply concerned with the textbook situation and the immorality they're teaching in our schools right now, the whole bisexuality, the whole homosexual agenda, the mm-hmm. whole no man, no woman. So we're deeply concerned. We see it in the other part. We see it going that way. Can you help us? Will you help us? And he said, I believe that marriage is between one man and one woman, okay? Well, that afternoon, we're there, and we're standing in this big, kind of a covered dome-like, but it's open on the side cover, and all of a sudden, the Lord said to me, I want you to say this, and I said, would you all hold hands with me? I said, I just would like to share something. I said, I want you to look to the person to your left and the person to your right, and I want you to realize that you right now are part of something that is going to change the way a lot of things are looked at. And I said, you are part of history in the making right now, and you will remember this day. Well, obviously, he was elected. Obviously, he was reelected. Obviously, he became the president twice, okay? Mm-hmm. With all the criticism and with all the unique things and still with the heartache of a terrorist attack and an attack by his own country people. And yes, there were things that could have been done better under his watch. Mm-hmm. But God allowed that man to be president to keep us safe.
Exactly.
For that time, okay?
Exactly.
And absolutely, and I believe that. And so I've just, Governor Perry, I've campaigned, I work with him. He's appointed me. I serve as a, well, in fact, Governor Bush did. I served on the Texas Parks and Wildlife, which was wonderful. And now I serve on the Texas Commission on the Arts, which is what I believe the arts are critical to public mm-hmm. schools.
Yes.
Absolutely, because it is David would call and say, hey, you know, Saul would call to David to come and say, play the harp for me to soothe that soul.
Exactly.
So it is with mankind. But the kind of, I don't know, the kind of art and music and stuff the kids are getting today is not soothing. It's disruptive and disjointed, and there's nothing to connect you with the beauty of God's creation in it.
No, it's confusing. And so if someone like yourself has the talent and the gift to bring forth the best, something that glorifies God from a wonderful, elegant, uplifting,
right.
and inspiring mm-hmm. way, we need that, Susan. So
we do need that, but you know how difficult it is? You were asking me, what do I see right now? One of the deepest things that concerns me is this lack of communication between children. They text each other all the time. You and I are having a conversation. We're interacting. I hear you. You hear me. The people on the radio hear you. I'm not sure our children, they are deaf.
So, Susan, let me ask you another question here. Do you think the churches, by and large, are doing their job today?
No, I don't. No, I do not. Everybody wants to be liked. Everybody wants to think that, oh, we're just like you. No, we're not. No. We are hiding our light under a basket.
That's right.
That is a basket of universal acceptance of everybody. We want the whole world. No. No, the Lord said, you are the apple of my eye. You are my chosen generation, set apart unto me for righteousness.
Susan, I'm reminded of the saying that says, evil flourishes when the righteous do nothing.
Absolutely.
And we have not because we ask not.
That's right. And the church, as we get back to it, I won't say that for my church here because I'm going to tell you, it is teaching and preaching the Word of God. But to think that church is a social happening where you go in to mm-hmm. play cards with people or bingo or chit-chat about, you know, what hairdo you've got or what dress you're going to wear on Easter or what shoes you're going to wear. Should you or should you not wear linen after the 1st of September? You've missed the boat. Why do they think they wandered for 40 years? Why do they think or do they not comprehend that Israel was overwhelmed and taken away and taken into captivity? Do we wonder why we are in the economic situation we are in right now where there are no jobs and they're getting less and less and less? Why everything is skyrocketing? We live in the most affluent world has ever existed on this planet, and we are in the bottom of the hole because we have no moral compass. Ruth Graham, she said, you know, God's a gentleman, and he is. He said, God comes where he is invited. God allows things to happen. If this is what you want, you can have it. Free will. This is not a God who demands that you click at your heels and stand up and salute him. And No. His laws are to protect you. His laws are good and honorable and decent and productive and will make a better person and a better world and a better country out of all of us. But if we do not have leaders, even in the White House, who cannot stand up for what is right and righteous, who lie indiscriminately and do it, just do it in your face, just blatantly lie, and they're never called to account for it.
That is one of the main reasons I wanted to interview you, because I sensed, after everything I read and now hearing you speak, that you're not only a woman of faith, but you're empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Well, I hope so. I just know that right now it is time to stand. The Lord said, having done all, you put on the armor, you do it all, you prepare, you walk in it, you take the sword of the Spirit, you take the breastplate, the helmet of the... Having done all, it says, you stand. It doesn't say you crumple down under the weight of this armor that you have on. It says you stand. Well, standing is not a lethargic thing. Stand in the Word of God and in the Hebrew means you move. You are standing in the authority and the knowledge that God has said, I have called you to the kingdom for such a time as this.
Susan, let me ask you a question. We're nearing our time here, and I just wish we had more. We'll have to have you on again. You are absolutely incredible. If you decide to run for office one day, you must let me know. Let all of us know here in California.
God and I have talked about that, and this is not my call. can't say the things I'm saying, Jensen, if you're elected.
Oh, my.
You will not be allowed to do it.
So, what is the answer? What are the last few words you would like to leave with Christians or anyone listening to you today? What do we need to do?
Seek the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path.
If you would like more information, you can visit our website at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. Or write to us at Testimony, P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. That's P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. I'm Jensine Bard. Please join us again for Testimony.